We're going to start, we're in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. We've now gotten to what happened with David HaMelech and Bathsheba. He sent out Uriah, or he sent the message to Uriah over here. And Uriah was told through a letter, or Yoav was told through a letter, to send Uriah to the front lines. There's a question if Yoav told him about it or not. There's also a question whether Yoav was chayiv to do so. We talked about that last time. So here in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, so the people of the city that went out, they waged war with Yoav. They were unfortunate. There were people that fell from the people, from the servants of David. Not only that, but Uriah Chiti as well. Here the Medrash goes a little crazy. The Medrash says that Yoav not only showed the contents of the letter of David HaMelech to Uriah Chiti, but he showed it to all the other captains of the army. So he showed all of them and said, look, we somehow have to get Uriah. So they put Uriah in a position where there was no possibility for him to survive. And again, this was wrong of Yoav. Because number one, he had no permission to tell anybody else. Number two, David HaMelech did not say kill him. David HaMelech said put him on the front lines and allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be involved here. Uriah was put in a position where he couldn't survive. And that's a real, real problem over here. This was never the intention of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was just saying they would say, somewhat influence Yoav's plans and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants with this. And if he comes back, he comes back. This was never the plan. Vayishlach Yoav, vayagil David kol divrei Mohama, Yoav sent and reported everything about the war to David. Vayitzav es HaMelech lemor, he told the messenger saying, kachaloskos kol divrei Mohama ledavar HaMelech, when you finish all the matters of the war and you speak to the king, vayim tala chamas HaMelech, if the anger of the king, it goes up. But Amar Lachan, he says to you, Madu ani gasham al irli lachem? Why did you approach the city to wage war against Eli? That's a mishur yor me'alachoma. You know that they shoot from off the wall. They're going to throw rocks down and everything. Mihi kas Avimelech and Rubeshes. I have no idea why this pasuk is here. Who killed Avimelech? By the way, Yerubeshes? Who's Yerubeshes? Avimelech's the son of Gidon, who's known as Yerubal. Yerubeshes is ultimately weird. Halo Isha Yishlicha Lav Palach Rechev, wasn't it a woman who threw that upper millstone upon him, Yalachoma, from on the wall, but Yamas Betevetz, and then he died in Tevetz. Lomini Gashem Vesachoma, why did you approach the wall? You'll say, your servant Uriah died. Yoav was trying to vindicate himself. He was trying to show David HaMelech that it's not my fault, it's your fault. What I did over here was really right over there. Now Malbim says there were no suspicions over here because Uriah was impetuous. He would have done this on his own. Uriah is the type of person to be in the front of the army anyway, and when there was a line of defense, he'd be the first one there. So it's not like anybody would suspect. Why was Uriah in front? He was a captain of the army. Yeah, he was a captain of the army. He's also a very strong warrior, would make sense to over here. But what I've always asked, and I can never explain, is why Yoav is talking to the messenger and telling him such a detailed thing that David might say. Won't David tell you what about Avimelech ben Yerubeshes? And aside from that, who is Yerubeshes? It's not a name anywhere. It's a weird thing altogether. I have no idea why it's mentioned this way and how it comes into this. No clue. And I tried looking up a bunch of things. The only thing I didn't look at is Nachlas Shimon. I didn't have time to look at the Nachlas Shimon. I have no answer to that question. It mamish is a pella.
David knows why Uriah was sent there. Why is Yoav making this explanation or story as to, like,
he didn't know
who's he giving cover to?
He didn't know if Uriah was right in front. He didn't know if Uriah was right in front. And he didn't know if David was playing a part also. It could be that David was playing a part and he would have to play back. He wasn't sure, Yoav, how this is supposed to go.
The truth is, direct order.
Yeah, and Yoav wasn't it a direct order to put him in front? Didn't say go fight the city and put him in the front to be hit upon. Right? That's that. And that's the implication that Yoav took, to which David HaMelech was like, That's not what I said. But it is a problem altogether. It's a pella what Yoav did. What David HaMelech did, I sort of understand. What Yoav did is a pella to me. Like, almost like trying to get, goading David into doing something here. By the way, Vayelech HaMelech, the messenger went, Vayelech HaMelech, David is called Shalach Yoav. He went and he told David everything that Yoav had sent to him. Vayomer HaMelech David. And the king said to, said to David, Gigavro Aleinu HaNashim, when the men became very strong, Vayetu Aleinu HaSadon, they came to us to the field. Vayni Aleinu Aleim Ad Pesach HaShar. We went all the way to the gate of the beginning of the gate. Vayoru Amorim Lavadecha, and they shot at your servants, Me'alachom, from the top of the wall. Vayamus Me'abde Melech, Vagam Abdechor Yachiti Meis. Your servant, the servants of the king, died, and so too Uriah Hachiti died as well. number one, the words Vayoru Hamorim, if you look, there's an extra aleph over there. That alludes to the fact that the marksman shot many, many arrows and even stones at the Bnei Yisrael, that it was going further and further and further. That's number one. Number two, if you'll notice, the messenger mentioned that Uriah Chiti died very quickly, without David HaMelech having to say anything. Yoav said, wait for him to ask, and then say, and by the way, Uriah Chiti died. Here he said, no, and Uriah Chiti died. I think that's because this guy didn't know what was going on, but he knew that Uriah Chiti was a very important person. And because of that, one of the 36 warriors of David HaMelech, that's why he said it as soon as he could. Anyway, Pasuk Chaf Hey, the Yomer David HaMelech, David said to the messenger, Kozma El Yoav, this is what you should say to Yoav. Al Yerebein Echazidav Arazeh, don't be upset about this thing. Because people die by the sword. Strengthen your war against the city. You will destroy it. And he encouraged him, right? Or encourage him. That's what he's telling him over here. Again, no suspicions. Nobody would suspect anything's wrong over here. David HaMelech did exactly whatever it is. It is interesting. The line that's mentioned over here is a little bit interesting, but at least that was there. The wife of Uriah heard that Uriah died. Isha, her husband. Isn't that interesting? Ashes Uriah Isha, as if Batisbot al Bala, and therefore she gave a hesped on her husband. There is no question that this was a sincere reaction over here. They may have been legally divorced, and according to Tosus, forget about the fact that it was Al Tanai. Tosus says they were actually divorced, and she had no chiv to mourn. That in of itself was a little bit of a pella, but there was no chiv of avelis whatsoever. Nonetheless, she felt for her former husband, and therefore she mourned him over here. And that implied that the path that David had chosen was not proper. And that's what the pasuk is implying over here. Ashes Uriah, Uriah Isha, Tisbot Abala. Clearly something was a little bit up.
Is there a significance that they're the dots?
No, only because it's Isha, her husband. Isha, it could be Isha as in woman. And Isha with a mapike is her man. So that's the only reason why I say it that way. But you'll see that throughout. I think that's okay. It says, Ve'avora Evil, the mourning period passed. Vayishal David. Now, right there is a question. What do you mean the mourning period passed? That seems to fly right in the eyes of the Machlokas Rashi Tosus that she had a get. Whether she had a get al Tanai or whether she had an actual get, there should be absolute no mourning period. She's not mourning. It's not her husband. It's her ex-husband. So I'm not sure I fully understand how they answer this up. They go through all the other things, and they say there was a get, etc. But how do they say, by Yavora Abel, there should have been no avelos? No avelos.
Are you allowed to anyways? Or are you?
Yeah, you can be sad, and maybe that's what it's referring to, but the word avel sounds like she had avelos. Not after a week or two. He gathered her to his house. She became his husband, his wife. She gave her to a child, obviously, soon after this. But what David had done was evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, this indicates that it was in the spirit of the law. We have two good questions over here, Benjamin, but we missed out on both of them so far. It says, what David had done was bad in the eyes of Hashem, which sounds like David HaMelech really had no idea what was wrong. Absolutely no idea what was wrong. Now, Torah law, as we've mentioned before, says, Asur Labal, Asur Laboel. If you're together with a married woman, you cannot be together. The husband cannot be together with her anymore, right? And the boyfriend can't be together with her anymore. So, if David HaMelech really was together with her, it was Eish HaSish, there'd be a major problem over here because this is a boyfriend. How could that be? We've answered she had a get. We've answered he was a king and it was considered like a rape and it wasn't considered willing, right? And therefore, he would have been mutter even if he was doing something else. There's an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says from the very beginning of creation, Bathsheba was destined to become David HaMelech's wife, but only after much suffering. David HaMelech went through the suffering after he married her, but it should have been that there was suffering before. And Uriah Chiti was always going to die in this war. Whether David HaMelech had put him in the front of the army or not, he was going to die in the war. Had David just waited, it would have been his. And unfortunately, it's there. Which one?
That last thing you said doesn't answer the question.
Oh, that's not an answer to the question. It's just an unbelievable Gemara that says that.
But it has to be up to there. Boyfriend versus not boyfriend.
The guy who slept with her. The guy who slept with her. It has to be somebody who slept with her then. And if we look at the entire progeny, I guess you could say, not progeny, predecessors of Mashiach, ancestors. The way they go, ancestors, thank you, of Mashiach, it is interesting. We have Lot and his daughters. We know about that because that started Moab and Ammon. We know about Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda and Tamar was also a very interesting situation. We know about Boaz and Rus, where Boaz went against seemingly everybody else in Klal Yisrael by marrying Rus. Yishai and Nitzebes.
Against anybody?
Because Moavi v'lo Moavia, whether a Moavia woman could join Klal Yisrael, everybody else was posking that she couldn't. That's the reason why Ploni Almoni wouldn't marry her. Boaz posking it was mutter and then died the next morning. And then you have Yishai and Nitzebes.
But all that stuff is a midrash. The Megillah doesn't
You're right,
say
but Moavi v'lo Moavia is there.
Right, but
oh,
no,
meaning
but that's
the argument. Either way, the fact that the Gemara says is also interesting. Then another medrash, pure medrash, but Yishai and Nitzebes, the whole story of how Yishai thought he was together with his Shifra, and it turned out to be Nitzebes, and David was born. Then David and Bathsheba, and of course Shlomo and Nama Ammonis. Even though, like at the end, we paskin Ammoni velo Ammonia, so he could marry Nama Ammonis. It is interesting that Shlomo Melech's child Rechavam, that became the next king, and that eventually will be from Mashiach, she's from Ammon. That's still just interesting that it happened that way. And I'm sure there's more if we went all the way through it. But all of these lead to Mashiach. There's something strange going on here. So then you have the Hasidim that take it into a different world and say, well, yeah, because we're talking about in order to get the Satan and the Yetzer Hara knocked down, we need to do things in a questionable fashion. But like, it's beyond. It's a little bit beyond me to fully understand what happened here.
So I can go find myself a nice...
if you think you're going to have Mashiach.
Yeah, how do you know that I'm not?
You got to do 23.
But if you don't,
figure out where you're from.
Many, many, many people had that svara and didn't have Mashiach, and it didn't work out. Yes, so maybe you don't want to be that way. Yet. Okay. Oh, that's it. That's what everybody says, right? Parakid Bays, guys. The Parakid Bays. Now, this is such an unbelievable parak. Because once again, we know what David HaMelech did wrong. But David HaMelech doesn't think he did anything
birthday?
Wrong. Yes, it is.
Happy
very
birthday.
Good. Oh, very good. Yeah, David Von Samick also, by the way.
Well, yeah, I know. Very good. But tell her...
No problem. I will tell. Yeah. I'll say. The best present I've gotten her yet. Okay, Perikid Beis. Pasukal, giving shir. Vayishlach Hashem is Nasan al David. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Nasan HaNavi to David HaMelech. Vayavo Elavi came to him. Vayom Elo Shnei HaNashem Ayubi Ir Echad. Echos, I'm sorry. Echad Ashir V'Echad Rosh. So there were two men in the city. One was a wealthy man, and one was a poor man. Chazal say, it was close to a year that had passed since the events of the previous chapter. Meaning, Bathsheba had already married David HaMelech. Bathsheba had already given birth. In the end of the last parak, it says she had already given birth.
I thought the Tino is born after this thing.
Right after this. I mean, or right after, or had already been born and died right after this. Meaning the 7 days.
So it can't be more than 9 months.
No, you can't be more than 6 months because she had already been showing 3 months. So 6 months. So we'll say close to a year, we'll call half a year. Half a year later, this happened over here with Nasan and Navi. And here's what happened. David HaMelech had not done tshuva because he honestly didn't think he did anything on his own. And if he didn't do anything whatsoever, then a punishment was going to be given to him, which is worse than what he actually got. He got a terrible punishment. As we'll see, four times the regular punishment is what David HaMelech is going to get.
He had to have known he did something a little bit off. The fact that he brought Uriah back, and then he sent him to war.
Right.
And now his neighbors
can
all of a sudden
But in the end of the day, when he saw, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Uriah at war and allowed him to die, he said, okay, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Meaning he saw it as a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for good, and not for bad.
So now, well, how does that play out then? He marries her afterwards, and now she gives birth a few months later.
People were never sure whether it was David's 6-month-old baby or whether it was Uriah's baby from beforehand, but at least they had, you know, some, I guess, some idea.
There was no 3-month rule in those days?
I don't know if that Gezerah Midrabanan applied. Number two, she was already divorced for more than 3 months before that when Uriah went out to war, but never went home. Well, so the 3-month rule would still have applied. But you should know that is brought up by the Radak, I think, earlier, whether he had 3 months or not. I just don't remember what the answer was. But I think that was one of the things out there. Either way, Nasan and Navi had to go ahead and do this in order to see what David's reaction is going to be. When Shaul HaMelech was approached in the same way, Shaul HaMelech, if you'll remember, denied it completely. Why did you leave alone the sheep? Oh, the people. Well, I knew one of his korbanos. He gave excuse after excuse after excuse. Let's look at David HaMelech's reaction over here to see what happened.
It's also interesting that, like, God is the one confronting David.
Yep. 100%. 100%. And this is Perek Nun Aleph in Tehillim. If we look at Perek Nun Aleph in Tehillim, I'm going to just open it up really quickly over here. This Perek of Tehillim may have been said after Nasan and Navi had come up to him. So look at what it says over here. Laman Seach Mizmol David, Bevoe love Nasan and Navi Kasher Bo Al Bathsheba. Chanini Elokim Chasecha. This is the remorse of what he did over here. It's possible it happened right here where he reads it, or maybe
he did something better over here. He must have written this after this.
Yes, 100%. Now, if you notice in the Pasuk, by the way, it says Rosh. But Rosh is not written as Reshin. It's spelled as Rosh. And that's the hint that we're referring to a leader of the Jewish people. Now, the Rosh, the poor person over here, was actually Uriah. But the fact that it says Rosh is a hint that this mashal actually means something over here. Okay. La'asher hayetzonu bakar harba mod. The wealthy man had many sheep and much cattle. And that's a reference over here, seemingly, as he had many wives. That's the idea of a L'Rosh Ein Kol. The poor man didn't have anything. Kim kivsa achas katana, one small little lamb, asher kana, that he had bought, v'chayah, and he raised her. V'tig delamosh, it grew up with him, being banav, and together with his kids, yachdov, together. Mipito tochal, it ate from his bread. Mikoso tishte, it drank from his cup. U'v'cheiko tishkov, and slept in his lap. V'tilo kibas, and it was like to him as a bas. Chazal learned out over here that bas is like bias, so the same wording that's used by Mordechai and Esther, shtilo kebas, is the same wording, batilo kebias, so it's a reference to the fact that just like he, but Uriah was married to Bathsheba, so too Mordechai would have been married to Esther. That's one of the things they learn out of batilo kebas over
did,
here.
Did they have kids, Uriah and Bathsheba?
We don't know.
The lamb had children.
And the funny thing, no, Uriah may have had previous children. Uriah may have had kids from another wife. And then this, there's another hint that they give over here, that Bathsheba was very young, very young. She may have only been 12 when David took her as a wife, which means she was younger when she was married to Uriah, which is another thing that they say, she may not have had a Kiddushin Del Raisa to Uriah Chiti. May have never been. And they learn that from the word Kitana, that she may have been very young. It's from Sanhedrin, Samach Tesema Beis, where it says that it seems that there's something a little bit different from over here.
She could have Kiddushin Del Raisa, somebody gave Kiddushin to her father.
If it was through her father. But if she somehow got it from her brother, her father passed away, we don't know, right? Then it's possible it went a little bit different. So the Malbim says that idea over here. And if you'll remember, we do say that Uriah had gained her hand from the Kliyakar, and the Malbim quotes it over here, by somehow defeating Goliath. Remember, Uriah was the one who unclasped the helmet or the shield or whatever it was.
Yeah, but that was all said that. About, she didn't say who that would be. Didn't
no,
say,
it does not. But it could be there was something over there. We don't know exactly what that means. Either way, the children, the Radak is the one that says it was children from a previous wife that he had beforehand. That's the idea behind it. Okay. Now, Barbanel says that all the details are not trying to say anything about the story. The details are just there to, you know, make David HaMelech think that the story is true. But all the details are not there.
Just ignore this one, guys.
Puzzik Dalit. Vayabo Elech Le'ish Ashir. So a traveler came to the rich man, Vayachmo, and he had pity, Lakach Mitzono, and he took from his sheep and Bikaro and from his cattle, Lassus Lo Reach Abolo, in order to make them, you know, prepare them for the guests who had come to him. Vayikach his Kivsas Isha Rosh, and he took it, right? He took for the, I guess, the Kivsas Isha, that lamb of the poor man. Right. Vayasa Le'ish Aboy Love. And he made it, he prepared it for the man that had come to him over here.
Who's the guest in this parable?
See, Barbanel says, the Yetzer Hara. The guest that came was the Yetzer Hara that caused David HaMelech to move in, right? What's going on? Like, so that's possible, the idea over the person had to go into every wish. And here, David HaMelech had like this guest, the Yetzer Hara, that was getting him to destroy himself over here, and that's what happened over here. Okay, that's that. Right. Vayichar af David b'ish ma'oid. David HaMelech got very angry at the rich man who had done such a thing. Vayomer al Nathan, he said to Nathan, Chai Hashem ki ben mavas isha, he says. By the life of God, the man who did this is deserving of death. Look at that. That's a kivsa yishalom arbatayim. And not only that, but he should also pay four times the amount of the lamb.
Where is he deserving of death?
Hold on. Ekev asher also has a dover azeb, because he has done this thing. Dalasholoch amal, because he didn't have any pity over here. Now, it seems this is a line in Koheles, that when you steal something from a person, it's koveim es nefesh. It's as if you stole the soul of such a person, right? It's as if you stole the soul of such a person over here. That's one explanation that Rashi says over here, and therefore it's like he's Chayiv Misa, but not actually Chayiv Misa. Mari Kera says, such a rich man who's not willing to take of his own and steals from a poor person in order to feed a guest is so evil he doesn't deserve to be in this world. That's how the Mari Kera says it over here. And the Malbim says it could have been a royal decree. A royal decree that even though he's not deserving of that, I am going to say that he's Chayiv Misa, because such a person, how could he have done such a thing over here? He was repulsed by this man's selfishness, but did not, according to this is how the Barbanel says, but not that he literally wanted to happen over here. Now, four times the amount of a sheep is interesting. You steal a sheep from somebody and you shecht it, right? It's really, well, you guys tell me, how much do you have to pay?
Four.
What sort of thing? Four times for the sheep itself. Four times.
For,
right. And So the reason why is because you're carrying it on top, right? So it's interesting. Arbatayim, however, may not be four times. Arbatayim, and I forgot who says this, but the Amal always brings it down, is eightfold. Yonas ben Uziel says 40 times the amount of the sheep. That's how much he's got to pay over here. Absolutely crazy over here. As soon as David HaMelech had said such a thing...
The Targum just says Arba, four.
Which one?
The Targum just says Arba, four. Al-Had for one, Arba, four.
He quotes Yonas ben Uziel. Well, let me see. Yonas ben Uziel reads as many full times four, or 40 times. Arachad Arba Chalof to Avid Yasin.
Is it a different Targum? Or is
arba, unless Al-Had Arba. What is Al-Had Arba? On one, four times?
No, maybe? Al-Had for one, Arba, a four.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he got it from. Either way, but it's supposed to be eight times according to this idea over here from the Miam Lois, and I guess he says 40 as well. Either way, as soon as he had said this, immediately the Satan grabbed his words and brought it in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and said, David HaMelech has to die. The line was given straight to David HaMelech. Now, this is scary. If David HaMelech would have been killed because of his line of what he said right over here, Shlomo HaMelech was not even in Bathsheba's stomach yet. There would never have been a Shlomo HaMelech, and the next king would have been, most likely, Amnon. That would have been the next king of Klal Yisrael. A totally different line and a really different story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately said, wait for David's response. Wait for David's response. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens from this point on over here. Okay, so he says like that. Oh, there's another answer over here, why he said it this way. He felt there's no way a Jew could have done such a thing. He must have been a non-Jew. And a non-Jew steals his Chayiv Misa, right? Because one of the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and that's the idea behind it. Okay, some say that Nasan Navi said, he excused the story by saying, I'm looking for a royal order to punish this guy because we can't do it in a regular Beis Din. What can we do? And he gave this whole punishment or whatever it is and everything like that. Okay, Yuma Chav Beis Mabez says that the Arbatayim that was given to him, as we'll see, are going to be four punishments that are going to happen to David HaMelech, and we'll talk about that toward the end over here. Vayomer Nasan David, Nasan Navi said to David HaMelech, Ato Ish, you are the man. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I anointed you as king over Yisrael, and I saved you from the hands of Shaul. I gave you the house of your master, that's in Shea Dunecha Bechaikacha, and the wives of your master are in your lap. Right there, we have to wonder what that means. The Etna Lecha is based Yisrael, and I gave you all Bnei Yisrael, a base Yisrael, the house of Yisrael, Yehuda. The Ma'at, you think that's too much? I can add on for you more and more. The Radak says, V'im Ma'at, if that's too little, had you waited a little bit longer and not sinned, says the Radak, I would have given you so much more, and that's what happened over here.
He already asked for the base of Mikdash.
Yeah, and he didn't get it. He didn't get it.
So what more could he have?
The Nesheh Adunecha Bechei, well, a king, Shlomo HaMelech. The Nesheh Adunecha Bechei Kecha, the wives of your master in your lap, may refer to Egla, who may have been one of Shaul's wives. We also learned that Egla may have been Michal. If Egla was one of Shlomo HaMelech's wives, and he married her,
wouldn't
you're allowed to do that because the king can do from the king. From
Michal be Beis
Adunecha? Okay. If not, then Nesheh Adunecha means a wife given to you by your master, which would be Shaul Melech's daughter, Michal, who might have been Egla over there.
Nesheh is plural.
Yes, it could be that he also married Ritzpah Bas Aya. Yushalmi brings down that David Melech married Ritzpah Bas Aya. Remember, Ritzpah Bas Aya is the one that got everyone in trouble earlier with the possibility that she was together with Avner Ben Ner, and that was the whole start of the fight when they approached. It could be the Ritzpah Bas Aya, Shaul's concubine, David HaMelech took as either a wife or a concubine itself, it seems like over there. So either that, Sanhedrin Yotesim Abay says it could have been Michal and Merav. Remember, he was sort of engaged to Merav, and then Shaul HaMelech took it back, gave Merav to somebody else, and then married David off to Michal. So if you remember that, it might have been Merav and Michal, so it might have been both of them all together.
You can't be married to both.
No, remember, he was never married to Merav. He was promised a daughter. It was supposed to be Merav. And then under the chuppah, he took Merav away and married her to somebody else. So that could be over there.
I have one issue with the whole...
Before that, at the end of the pasuk, when it says Kohen v'Kohena, Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph and Aleph darshins from here, that a king cannot have more than 18 wives. We've only seen David HaMelech have... What is it? Chaf? I might have started over there. Okay, maybe Chaf on the base. He started off with six wives that we know about, and he was promised Kohena, the Kohena. Like these and like those, meaning like those six, plus another one of those six, so that's 18 altogether. They darshan it from this pusik that he had 18 wives. And we know he had, well, seemingly, 8 wives and 10 concubines. At the end of the day, it would have been 8 wives and 10 concubines. What were we going to say? Oh, yeah.
Two things. First of all, the parable, I mean, obviously it makes sense, you know, in context, but if you're comparing the, I mean, it's making, the person in the parable, in a sense, is almost more evil than what David did. He's a guy, he has one wife, I mean, he has a lot of cattle all the same.
Yeah.
But he, like, purposely went and took his, so he hasn't used up any of his cattle, any of his money. In this case, it was the Yetzer Hara for that specific woman. It wasn't like he had it. It wasn't like, no, I have a million wives I can go with, but I like her. I want her. So he had a taiva for that specific one, whereas the guy could
have... Very good. Very good. And I think right there could have been an excuse that Dovid HaMelech could have used. He could have said, like, wait, that's not a real good mashal.
No, he could say I was wrong.
Probably
could
have said that.
It doesn't mean I was right.
But
I'm saying the mashal's a little
bit. I think it was done on purpose by Nelson and Avi and by a Kaddish Baruch Hu to see what the reaction would be. The same way that Shmuel and Avi said to Shaul HaMelech, hey, what were you doing with those sheep? And Shaul HaMelech answered, I have excuses. You're right. That would be a good excuse. Wait, that's not a good mashal. I have a reason for why I wanted Batsheva. It's been prescribed from Shemayim. I had a crazy Yetzer Hara for her. She was divorced. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are ways of getting around. I think it was done on purpose that the mashal did not exactly fit everything that happened with David Melech. I think that's the reason why it was done. Number two?
Oh, yeah. He said, you know, he had 10 concubines from the start of Shalom, and then he had these six wives. But
eight.
The six, what?
Eight
oh, sorry, wives. Eight. I mean, this goes towards the end where he gets Avishag.
Yeah.
It says, Melech lo yada'a, but I don't know. Let's get to it.
Because there are opinions, obviously, that it was a different way. That Melech was too old at that time. We'll get to it. Believe it or not, the Pashtanim are a little bit different. Pasuk 9. Madua bezizah devar Hashem. Why do you despise the word of God? This is what Nelson Avi was saying. Lasos hara be'enai. To do what's evil in my eyes. Look, be'enav in his eyes, but nothing of you speaking the word of God. As Uriachiti Kisa Bacharab, you killed Uriachiti by the sword of Esisha, Lakataka Laisha, and you took his wife for a wife. But also Rakta Bacharab in Ammon, and you had him killed by the sword of the Ammonim over here. What is going on? The Radak says that the real sin that you did over here was not necessarily, it was the Chilul Hashem that you caused, that the Ammonim knew that they had killed such a warrior as Uriachiti, and they were going around saying, look at what we did. Who cares if we lose the war? We killed one of the biggest warriors in David HaMelech's army. That caused the Chilul Hashem. That was a horrible Chilul Hashem. There was another thing over here. He had not shown concern for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose seeing eye knows what's going on in secret places. That's the idea behind it. By allowing such a thing to happen, how could you have allowed such a Chilul Hashem to happen that people will know what you did with Batsheva? Even though she was divorced, how could you have allowed that to happen over here? Yeah.
It says, V'esishto lakakta.
As Isha Lakata. Yeah.
But,
yeah. Says straight out.
She wasn't
even
divorced.
Though she was divorced, whatever it is. It seems like it just wasn't done. People considered her a wife of that person, even though there was a get. That's what everybody would answer over there. They'd say right over there. It's also interesting. Look what it says here. Ba'oso haragta b'char v'mano. You killed him with the sword of an Ammon. It's as if you were the guy. Sanhedrin mem tesim abeis. And the Radak says over here, when somebody sends another person, right, to go kill someone, it's as if they themselves had done it. Angel of Barbera for Yoav, and therefore Yoav cannot claim, hey, that's that. But in Shemayim, you're still blamed. In Shemayim, you are still responsible, and therefore he was held responsible for your pasuk yod. And now, warfare will not be removed from your household ever. Akev kibizi sunny, because you have despised me. Batikach as Ashes Uriachiti Los Alchishan. You have taken Uriahachiti for you as a wife itself. It's interesting. This will be there forever, even in the days of Mashiach ben David. Until the end of everything in this world, your household, David HaMelech, will always be known for warfare. There will be a Gog Magog war at the very end of days where Mashiach is going to have to fight whoever it is in order to become king. That will never stop. So says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to bring up an evil from within your house. we know later on, this is Avshalom. He will take your wives in front of your eyes, and I will give them to your friend, one close to you. He will sleep with their wives in the eyes, in the sight of the sun itself. You took someone's wife away, your wives are going to be taken away from you. Right? He had no idea who this referred to, and later on when he found that it was Avshalom, he thought, oh, Baruch Hashem, he's never going to do that. And even though it says, La'inecha, it's in front of your eyes, since it was in public, it's as if it was done in front of David HaMelech's eyes. Even though David HaMelech was not there at the time, he had run away by this time, nonetheless, it couldn't be prevented. It was as if David HaMelech was right there. It is interesting, and I've never quite understood why David HaMelech didn't bring all of his wives and his concubines with him when he ran away. I guess maybe he thought that running away with all the wives and all the concubines would be too difficult, and he wouldn't be able to do it.
You've been on a trip with one wife and all your kids.
I mean, it's so easy. It's super easy. I have no problem.
Now multiply it by eight.
Multiply
it
by eight. Right. Maybe that is a little hard. But then he did take eight. He just didn't take 18. If you're on eight anyway, you know, you might as well add on an extra 10. But either way, but that's that. It is really interesting what happened. He was always worried about it. The Medrash says he always worried about it. And when Avshalom came up, he said, oh, Baruch Hashem. And that's where the Gemara says, Mizmor le David bevorchum im Avshalom beno. It's a Mizmor. When he ran up because of Avshalom, he thought it was going to be an Eved. He thought it was going to be somebody else. It turned out to be Avshalom. He said, Baruch Hashem. At least it's Avshalom. Pasuk Yud Beis. Kiatos Yisus Basesu. You did it in private. Yisasid over Azeh Negev Kol Yisrael. I'm going to do it in front of all Bnei Yisrael. Negev Hashemesh. Opposite the sun itself. In front of the sun itself. Right, and that's that. Chazal learned from over here. Anybody who does Achil Hashem in private, Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays you back in public. Because we're going to pay you back in front of everybody else. Yomer David El Nasan Achatasi LaHashem. Here's David HaMelech. He said to Nasan Anavi, I sin to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I sent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, period. Now look what happens in the pasuk itself. You see what it's at? Where is it? Chatasi LaHashem. Oh, there should be a space. I don't know if the space is over here. There's supposed to be a space over here. Either whatever it is. You can imagine the state of shock. Again, this is David HaMelech not thinking he did anything wrong. He never thought he did anything wrong. Then all of a sudden this came up. He was completely overwhelmed. He could not believe it. All he could say is like, oh my gosh, you're right. I really, really messed up when it came to over here. And he didn't think about anything whatsoever. Okay, as soon as he said that, the punishment that had been decreed in heaven that he was going to suffer crazy punishments for whatever it is, as soon as he said it, the sentence was commuted. He got his chelek back in Olam Haba. His Olam Hazeh was given with rachamim. Although everything's going to happen, it wasn't going to be directly through him, it's going to be indirectly through him. And he accepted it. Barbanel said he no longer had the death penalty because he got the sadness as if he died right here. That's what happened right over here. So that's the idea behind it over here. By Yomer Nasan al David, Nasan al Melech, Nasan al Navi said to David, Gam Hashem Hevir Chatos Galosimus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now forgiven you for your sin, you will not die. That was pretty quick, wasn't it? It's like unbelievably quick. But that's all he had to do. Had he said anything else, David Melech would have said anything else, he probably would have lost his kingdom. He may have lost his kids becoming the kings. He probably would have died. But this is unbelievable. Yeah.
The Gemara in Yoma.
Yeah.
It talks about different levels of sin and how long teshuvah takes to work.
Yeah.
And it says that, I mean, a sin like this, you wouldn't need, I mean, you certainly say it's going to get, but it says Hashem forgave your sin. Usually that would not be until Yom Kippur. But here he did it on the spot. Right, you know, remember that?
Correct. But he's still going to get... That's right, he got rid of part of it. But the punishments are still going to be there.
Right, but it says that but if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, that the forgiven, it's like Talu until Yom Kippur, then it's forgiven.
So it's possible that part of that is still waiting. And maybe it is. Like, for right now, Nelson and W was saying, your sin is going to be commuted based on what you're going to do in the future because of this. All he told them right now is, okay, right now, you're not going to die. That's all it's going to be. And that really is Tola.
But it says, that implies...
But called lo samus, that you won't die. I think that's going to mean that you're not going to die. Yeah, probation would be the right one. According to the Medrash, after this, David HaMelech fell sick and was bedridden for many, many years. Many years until the day of his death. For the 13 years, he lost strength in his body. He would sit on the ground, cover himself in ashes and dust every single day, pleading for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. During that time, he may have separated from his wives for many years. To separate from his wives, obviously, he was with Bathsheba after Bathsheba. The Medrash brings this down. He had seen how the Yitzhar was there, and he tried destroying it. He tried saying, Libi Chalal Bekirbi. He tried to get rid of the Yitzhar completely. In the Zohar, we said, the Zohar brings this down as well, and says, says that he did wait through it. This is where the 3 months. He did wait 3 months after he had taken her. On the 25th of the month of Nisan, David ordered all the soldiers to join Yoav in battle. On the 7th of Sivan, they attacked the Ammonim. They remained there until the 24th of Elul. He took David, Deva took Bathsheba on that 24th of Elul, 5 months after Uriah had departed from battle. A month and a half later on Yom Kippur, David was granted forgiveness, and it was based on this.
He came to mind.
Very good. Yeah, it would have been right around that time.
How did they get all those dates?
From the Zohar.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I don't think we can go any there. Yeah, I can't even tell.
That would make sense if he says Havir Hadas because
that's
he came to mind.
That would be right over there, and that's that. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Shmuel and Avi had seen this entire thing. Shmuel and Avi saw it in his very first Nevuah when he looked at David Melech. He saw he's a violent, bloodthirsty man who's going to be over on Ish Ish. And he said, how in the world is this man going to be a king over Klal Yisrael? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you look at the outside, I look at the inside. Remember, he said that by Eliyav, because he looked at Eliyav and said, this guy should be king. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you got to look at the inside. And in the inside, Eliyav is cruel. I know David Melech's inside, and David Melech's inside is filled with rachamim. He may have made a mistake, but he understands when he made a mistake, and he immediately went on. Doeg and Achitofel never forgave him for this. I don't know if Doeg was still alive. He's probably dead. We don't know anything about Doeg or Adomi. But Achitofel never forgave him for it. Remember, this is Achitofel's great-granddaughter. Achitofel's great-granddaughter. He never forgave him for this. And even though outside, he never said anything, he never mentioned anything, never did anything, only years later, he harbored this hatred in his heart. It's crazy. His great-great-grandson will eventually become the king of Klal Yisrael. Shlomo Melech is going to become king. He harbored this hatred in his heart, and he never showed it. Instead, he showed it, what's the word, come on, when you say things not directly, it's like...
roundabout?
Indirectly, yeah. But like, what happens when you're...
Passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressive. In a passive-aggressive nature, he would say, oh, David, in the base medrash, the Gemara says that he'd say, David Melech, what's the din of somebody who's together with an Esh Yisish? He would just say it, like in the middle of that, and he'd say, somebody who's with an Esh Yisish, he's chayiv misa, but he gets a chelik in olam haba. But somebody embarrasses somebody publicly, doesn't even have a chelik in olam haba. And they would say it because Achitofel didn't have a chelik in olam haba. But that's the ad right over there. Listen to this. Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai says, and only Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai can say this, everyone who sins has a sin written on their body. When David Melech said, Chatasi Lashem, the sin was taken off his body. If you looked at David, you couldn't find the sin. The sin was no longer there. And that's what he means, Hevir Chatas HaKadosh Baruch Hu has removed the stain of your sin from on your body as if you didn't do it. That's what the tshuva did at that point. Epes ki etz not so soyvi Hashem, but because you have angered and provoked the enemies of Hashem, but the verse about this thing, Gama b'ne yolod l'chol mosimus, the child that's going to be born for you is going to die. This child that will be conceived, that was already conceived through Bathsheba, is going to die. Hold on. So we went back to his house. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then plagued the child that Ashes Uriah had already given birth to David, and he became very deathly ill. Nasan and Navi usually, right, would honor the king by spending time in his presence. This was an exception. He's trying to show the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over what David and Melech had done. So as soon as he finished Nevuah, he got up and he left. Okay, the boy, the child that was had, immediately became ill. We have no idea how old he was, because we're going to see over here it says 7 days. The kid may not have just been born. It might be a little bit older, but everybody agrees this was not a child that lived very long because he did not have to sit Shiva for him. Now, let's one more thing. Vayivakesh David Elokim ba'anar. David Melech prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the child. Vayatzim David so many fasted. Uba v'lon v'shachav arza. He came home, lied down, and slept on the ground. Vayakumu zikne beiso alav. And all the elders of the house stood over him, lakimu in order to bring him up from the ground. V'lo ava, he didn't want to. V'lo vara itam, and he didn't. V'lo vara itam lechem, and he would not eat any bread with them. He was davening and davening and davening, doing everything he could to try to get rid of this child itself. Now again, if this was an illegitimate child who would be a mamzer, David Melech, I don't know. I have no clue. Should David Melech have davened this much? I understand that you're sad, but when you realize you had sinned and the child's a mom, if the child's a mamzer, would you really sit there and do this as much as he did? And I don't know, but they do use this, the Malbim use this as a raya that there's no way this child could have been a mamzer. David Melech wouldn't have davened as much for it had it been that way. I'm just bringing another idea behind it. From here we learn, some say, the idea in Brachos Yudim Abayis, that even if the cherev chad munachas al tzvar shalom, even if a sharp sword is on your neck, al timna atzmin rachim, do not stop davening. Some say it's from this.
That was from Chizkiya.
Chizkiya said it, may avi avos, from my grandfather, and it could be from David Melech, from right over here. Others say it's from his his fight against Yishbi Benov, which we'll see later on in Sadi Hayom Abayis.
What's his... we talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
His justification for remaining married to Bathsheba.
His justification? He realized that Bathsheba was supposed to be his wife through his Ruach HaKodesh.
Let's take Ruach HaKodesh out of it. Is there a rational reason?
Because he fell in love with her. But the rational reason.
But I'm talking about, but he's doing all this teshuva, yeah. And he really wants to do teshuva. Mm-hmm. I think it was your question.
Dovinov was never told to divorce her.
No, he wasn't told to divorce her, but it would be almost like, oh, this is the right thing to do. I would think so. No? I mean, at the same time, like, then now she has no husband and can't marry anybody else. And
so funny. I think he would have been told. He would have been told to do so when he wasn't told to do so. That might be that. Remember, I don't know when Nassan and Navi comes up to him and tells him that the child is going to be the next king. I don't know when that happened. But at some point, Nassan and Navi told him that the child from Bathsheba is going to be the king. So that also may have come into play. But let's see what happens. By the way, I never went into the Arbatayim, the four punishments. The four punishments that we say was going to happen was that the child is going to die. Amnon, right, was going to be killed because of what he did. So Tamar was going to be raped, obviously, through Amnon. And then Amnon was killed. And Avshalom was going to be killed. And that was the four times punishment that he had with his children because of this. On the seventh day of Yom HaSeyelet, the child died.
I mean, I guess the children also, yeah, they on their own.
Now, this seventh day was the seventh day after the child took sick, or the seventh day after his birth. We don't know what it was. There's no question, though, that David did not fast for 7 days straight. That's not what happened. He davened for 1 day. And fasted for 1 day, and the child died 1 day after that. We don't know exactly, though, when this child got sick or what ended up happening over here.
How do we know the fast was only 1 day?
We don't know. We don't know. It just said 1 day over there. So if you say that it was, no, it's not just 1 day, then maybe it was 7 days later, but he was fasting as much as he could during that time. If you say it was the seventh day of his birth, then it would make sense that he only fasted for 1 day, but he was born 6 days earlier, something like that. Vayiru Abdi David, the child died. Vayiru Abdi David, and the Abdi David saw, Vayiru, they were afraid, I'm sorry, Lahagidlo, Kimei to tell him that the child had died. Ki Amru, Chai, of Lo Shema Bekolenu. When the child was alive, we spoke to him and tried to convince him to eat and everything, and he couldn't handle it. The Echnomari love Meseyelev, also raw. How could we tell him now that the child has died? That would be totally evil. This is one of the Kalva Chomers of the Torah. There are 10 times in the Torah where we see a Kalva Chomer used. This is one of the 10 times where a Kalva Chomer is used in the Torah itself. Vayar David ki avadu mislachashim. David Melech saw that his servants were whispering to one another. Vayavin David ki meisa yelad. David Melech understood the child had died. Vayomer David avadu ha-meisa yelad. The child died, didn't he? Vayomru meis. And they said, he died. Maybe they were even worried about what happened with Rab, you know, with Bana and Rechav and all the other people who had told him about things before. David Melech, after he hears somebody dies, does not do well with the messenger. What happened to the Eved Kushi, right, that had told him? The Amaleki, Ger Amaleki, I'm sorry, not the Eved Kushi. The Ger Amaleki who had told him that before. Bana and Rechav about Ish Boshes. Those guys did not come out well. They could have been worried about that as well.
Yeah, but those guys said that they had done something to the king.
Correct. Right. So maybe they were just worried, and that's that. And it's interesting also that they said Mace. I find that interesting as well. So Chazal states because you're not supposed to say Haben Mace or anything like that. You're supposed to say it in a roundabout way. I wouldn't have said Mace then. I would have said something different, but you knew. By Yakum Tavim Ya'ariz, he got up off the ground. By Yirchatz by Yosef, he washed himself, anointed himself. By Yichalosim Losev and changed his clothing. By Yavol Beis Hashem, he came to the Beis Hamikdash. By Yishtachavu, not the Beis, the Mishkan, and whatever they had then, right? And he bowed down. By Yavol Beis Hashem, he came back to his house. By Yishal, and he asked, you know, they served him. By Yasim Lo Lechem, by Yochal, they brought bread to the table, and he went ahead and ate, right? So right over there, obviously, king had become soiled. He was position of king. He had to make sure that he was right there, and that's that. Some say, right, normally, that would be usher, but a king is mutter. That's one thing over there. Some say, by an onain, right, you're different than an oval. Before the baby is dead, you can prepare yourself, right, and you can do this. Not everybody holds that way. Mm-hmm. Onin nowadays, we hold, is not allowed to bathe themselves. But there is a shita in the Rishonim that allows Onanim to go ahead and bathe. We just don't paskin that way. Some say it was under 30 days, is the Radak. And since it's under 30 days, there's no such thing as Onin, there's no such thing as Avelos. Therefore, he was allowed to do everything. He was showing everything over there. Number four, he did Akaras HaTov for God's honor. If he's going to go to the Beis HaMikdash and express good, for, you know, express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Akaras HaTov, Tovah, everything you did to him, then you have to do this over here. That's Brachos Mem Habayis. We learn Mem Hayom Habayis. We learn that there's a chiv to thank God for the bad, just like there is for the good. You cried and fasted over a child that was alive. Then when the child died, you got up and you ate bread and everything like that. Shouldn't you have completed your fast? If you made a neder, shouldn't you have finished it? That's what they assumed. You should finish your fast. I thought maybe a Kaddish Baruch Hu will grant me favor and allow the child to live by me doing something. But now he died. What am I fasting for? Am I able to bring him back? I'm going to him. He's not coming back to me. He knew from over here, by the way, since he considered the possibility that the infant would recover and he would get a punishment of Gehenna in its place. Now he understood, after the child died, he's going to the child, that this was going to be his punishment in Olam Hazeh, so that he would get his Olam Haba. He did not lose his chelik in Olam Haba. Pasuk Chav Daled, Vayinachem David is Bat Sheva Ishto. David HaMelech consoled Bat Sheva, his wife. Vayavo Elen, he was together with her. Vayishka Vima, and he slept with her. Batelid Bain, and she gave birth to the son. By Tikra Shmo Shlomo, she called his name Shlomo Vashem Ahibo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved him. The Gra holds that David and Batsheva's fourth son is Shlomo. He was not the second son. There were two other sons in between. That makes all the years a little bit weird. The assumption is, Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says it on Shmuel Be'ez Aderes Eliyahu. We don't know. But the Gra said, remember, he never wrote a sefer. It was just something that he told people. So he said it was his fourth son, but it's really weird, very strange. That means this happened way before the age of 58. Because, again,
there were like multiple births, twins or something?
Possible. It's possible. But, again, that means that this would have happened, seemingly. He would have married Bat Sheva in maybe his 55th year, and then kid, and then 58, he would have given birth to Shlomo, or she would have given birth to Shlomo Melech. I don't know. Either way, it also explains from the Medrash. The Medrash says this happened. There were 22 years of mourning where he would eat ash and sit on the ground. 22 years. This happened way before. But I think that would go against the Medrash that says that Shlomo Melech was 12 years old when he became king. And it definitely seems that way. It's definitely learned out from Divrei Yamim. Divrei Yamim is one of the proofs. I forgot where exactly. But not in our, not in Shmuel Beis. That's that. The Radak says at first, Bat Sheva did say what you said before. She wanted to stay away from David Melech. She said, clearly we're not supposed to be meant to be together. And David Melech spoke to her and said, no, this is what's going to happen, and your child's going to be king. That's how the Radak puts it, and she was convinced. He sent through Nasan and Avi. And he called his name Yedidya Bavur Hashem for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. The Mari Kara means it could be,
so
this is Mamash HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. It could be that it's straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo, as we know, means Shalem and Shalom. However, it seems over here, it's possible that this was the name of the baby that died, not the name of the baby that was born. Because you do name a child, even if they die before you were able to give them a name, like they die before the bris, if the child was 7 days old when it died, he never had a bris. So you do, after the death, chas v'shalom should ever happen, you give a bris mila and you name the child, and that's the name that the child gets, and as he goes to the grave itself. It's possible Yedidya was the name of the dead child, but it seems from all the Rishonim that Yedidya was the name of Shlomo HaMelech, that's what they called him, and later on he was known because of Shalom in his time, he was known as Shlomo, and that's the idea behind it. There's a lot that goes through. We don't have a lot over here. I think maybe we'll end with this story right over here, even though it's Chaf Vav, but it's a new part. Once it was a king who asked a Jewish sage to explain the episode. He said, how could it be that David HaMelech, the king, the person who wrote Tehillim, could have gone over these averas, and how could he have done this? So we've given some answers, but that Chacham answered him. He said, look into the chronicles of all the kings of all the nations. You'll find that each one murdered one another. They committed atrocities of the worst kind. They stole women from their husbands, hid it, and whatever it was. What do you think would have happened if someone tried to rebuke one of those kings? If somebody went up to them and said, you did the wrong thing, you did something wrong, what would happen? No question, the king would have killed him and no one would have been the wiser, and that's what had happened. All that is just what came to be known and what happened in those types of situations. That's what goes to whatever. We don't even know things that were hidden. Consider the actions of David HaMelech. He did what he should not have done. No man, even one who can save himself, that he had a hallowed heart, you know, Libi Chalabi Kribi, claiming he had no Yetzihara, right, of all that can be certain of withstanding the evil, the Yetzihara itself. And when Nasan and Avi came up to him, instead of killing him, he thanked him, and he did tshuva completely. That's the level that the Torah wants to say, that even somebody who looked at himself and said, I'm a king, I could do anything I want, yet he understood what he had done wrong, and he said, I accept it, I'm willing to accept that upon myself. He allowed the muster to roll over him, wash over him, and he said, you're right, I did something completely wrong. That's the Milo of David HaMelech, and that's why the Psukim spend two prukim going over what David HaMelech did, even though it's the worst thing you could possibly think of, we're willing to do that. Divrei Yamim, however, which is written as the Chronicles of the Kings to tell us all the great things of David HaMelech, whitewashes the whole sugya. There's nothing. He marries Bathsheba, he has a child, Shlomo, and everything works out well. Does not say a thing, because that's what Divrei Yamim is for. Shmuel Anavi, or Shmuel Beis, is to tell us the greatness of a man named David HaMelech, that even though he made a mistake, and a horrible mistake at that, even if he had his excuses, a horrible mistake, we're not willing to white. We're telling you, look at what David HaMelech's reaction was when he was told he did something wrong. He said, you're right, I'm bad.
But Chronicles is more of a genealogy and...
That's the point of it, to tell us David HaMelech.
It's a national significance.
Yeah, David HaMelech's lineage. It's all about David. It's the Divrei Yamim LaMalchei Beis David. That's the Divrei Yamim. All right, we'll stop with that, everybody. We're on Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chav Vav.